Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord and see and hear people who are genuinely praising God. I like it when they said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wasn't talking about somebody's house. Talking about the Lord's house. And what a privilege it is. I am listed to introduce our preacher for today. I want you to read it carefully because I want to say a couple of things about him that you won't find in here. But we're delighted to be here. First of all, I want Reverend Carl Jones to stand up and his beautiful wife and granddaughter stand up. If y'all are too far apart, you can come on back up here. I worked for the Baptist bookstore as a salesperson. And basically I sold books about religion, sermons, all kind of materials that had to do with what Christianity should learn as we serve God. So there was a group of churches that decided to go to preaching and teaching charismatic. And they kept coming into the bookstore, and I kept selling them. Glad about that. I was a good salesman because they kept on coming and getting whatever I sold. Thank God for that. I'd gone from the feed store, hay, grain, that kind of thing, to the Baptist bookstore. God is an awesome and amazing and loving and blessing God. So they just kept coming in there, these people from those charismatic churches. So they came together, these churches came together in the Louisville area. And would you believe when they met, they asked me to come and preach. Because I've been selling books. And they invited me to come to preach. I came to preach. And just before I got up from there, after this had occurred, I was in my own church preaching, West End Baptist Church. So on Wednesday night, here comes two men, Carl Jones and Ken Timmons, walking into West End Baptist Church. And what a difference that made. I was shocked that the pastor, which was a white congregation where they were a part of, all white. They weren't emerged white, but they were white. But these two men ain't white that came. Ken, would you stand up way back in the back where you are? So they came in on a Wednesday night walking in, just walking on in to join West End Baptist Church. They joined West End Baptist Church, and what a blessing. Carl Jones is so gifted and so talented, both of them were. Ken went back to where he was in Florida. But if you read the introduction for Brother preacher for today, Brother Jones, you'll find a whole lot of information. But God has used him today. And I'm so happy today to have him to come to be the speaker on this occasion. He's a pastor of a church, and before he went to that church, he came to me and talked to me about it, what some things he wanted to ask me. Now, you can imagine how I felt. Well, here's a man getting called to a wonderful church, and he wanted to have conversation with me, things that he wanted me to answer, questions he wanted me to answer. I did that. And what I'm really trying to say here, he has led a great church. Amen. They love him. He loves them. And that's the truth. And he is serving God in a mighty, wonderful, and marvelous way. So when you read this information, it is a factual information. He equipped and prepared himself for the kind of ministry that he is going and he is doing. And I'm glad today that we have the opportunity of having him to come and bring our message for today. I hope that you'll be praying with him, that God will do what he has sent him here to do, to glorify God and to encourage us as the members of the family of God. Amen.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. I can't begin to tell you how delighted I am to share with you on this grand anniversary occasion. Happy anniversary. God is a good God, and I want to join the children's choir in saying that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for all that he's done. I want to thank Sister Ava Reynolds, who graciously extended me the invitation on behalf of the leadership team, and I want you to know I'm honored to share this grand occasion with you. I'm thankful to have my lovely wife of 41 years. I dearly love Carmen. In fact, just yesterday I told her how much I loved her. I had been out in the yard working, and when I came in the house, I said, I did something I didn't want to do, but I did it because I love you. And she said, "What was it?" I said, "I killed a lizard for you." If that ain't love, I don't know what is. Amen. And then with us today is my oldest granddaughter. A couple of years ago, she set me up. I thought I was helping her with her homework. She asked me, "What does the word grand mean?" I said, "Grand is something that's great and spectacular and wonderful and outstanding." And she gave this big, broad smile, and she said, "I'm your granddaughter." Amen. And it gives me even added joy to have my dear, nearly lifelong friend in the person of Ken Timmons with us today. Ken has been given a love for the Hebrew Scriptures, and he is using his scholarship to help bring people to the Lord and understand what it means to walk with them. And I don't have another person in this world that I have known and has been as close to that was not related to me by marriage or by family than Ken Timmons. Ken, can you come a little closer, brother? Amen. 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 We came to Louisville together in 1975. We had been directed to West End Baptist Church, where Pastor Bingham was pastoring. And we had talked about going to West End, and I told Ken, I said, well, I'd also like to visit some other churches in Louisville. It was a new city, a new experience. And so what I decided to do, I decided that I was going to call around and let some churches know that we were in Louisville and we wanted to visit churches. And most of them I called were not impressed that I wanted to come or we wanted to come worship with them. But I called the West End Baptist Church, and in that time the phone of the church rang in the Bingham's house. And Lillian Bingham answered the phone. And there are three things about Lillian that that I know and appreciate. The first thing that I learned from her from that phone call was that she was a sweet woman. The way she welcomed the call and extended the invitation for us to come and worship, I just knew we had to go to West End. And after going to West End and becoming a part of the fellowship, I learned that she was not only sweet, but she was stern. Now, as long as her lips are straight, you're all right. But don't let Lillian twist her lips on you. I mean, you are looking for a come to Jesus meeting then. Amen. Third thing I learned about her is she's not only sweet and stern, but she's a spiritual woman. I think that if she wasn't a Christian, she could get paid $1 a minute for giving counsel and advice. Amen. But she's a sweet, stern Christian woman. And I thank God for her and her ministry. I thank God for the love and expression of appreciation you showed them on last weekend, celebrating Reverend Bingham's retirement. And I had the experience of being in one of the worship services, and I heard Reverend Bingham say that he was going to elucidate the superfluous effervescence of the third person of the adorable Trinity. And I didn't know Baptists could do that. And then he went on to explain that what he was going to do is preach about the Holy Spirit. And I said, oh, all right. And so not only did I get the blessing of hearing him preach about the Holy Spirit, but I was blessed to see and experience the Holy Spirit operating in his life. And I don't know of a person who has been more of an influence on my walk with the Lord than Lincoln Bingham. And I thank God for what he has been, what he is, and what he continues to be and to mean to me. And certainly I want Shively Heights, St. Paul at Shively Heights, St. Shively at Paul Heights. I want y'all to know it's a blessing to be here. Amen. I want you to note that when Sister Reynolds contacted me, she did not say that there was a time limit on the sermon, but she did make me to understand the time that you usually get out of service. And I can take a hint. Amen. Amen. And so we will try to say to the glory of God what he's placed on my heart to say. I do want you to know, Ava, that your daddy has given me a word that says that I can preach until I get done. Shortest sermon I ever preached was about 7 minutes long. The longest sermon I ever preached was about 140 minutes long. This message will be somewhere in there. All right. And also want to thank the wonderful music ministry today. You've been a blessing to me. Thank you for lifting your voices and praise to God. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, these words are recorded. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In your theme text, Jesus prayed for his first followers and for those who would believe in him because of their words. He prayed that his disciples, past, present, and future, would be one. He prayed that they would have a bond of unity like that shared by him and his Father. The two of them coexisted co-equally. They were in the same of the same importance and same esteem. For 10 years, the bond of unity has held you together. You've not let the devil defeat you by being a living testimony of what the power of God can do. Our country has made some strides in the right direction relative to race, but we still have a long, long way to go. Perhaps what you've been doing over these past 10 years will help shorten what seems to be an unending journey toward equity, equality, and unity. Thank you for not letting the devil discourage and defeat you in your quest to do as Pastor Peyton said, and that is to reach people of all ethnicities rather than to run from them. I know that you've had to do a lot of talking to the Lord. You've had to do a lot of talking to one another. And some of that talk perhaps were difficult talks to have. When you merge, as you have merged, sometimes you have to say things that are hard to say, and you have to hear things that are hard to hear. And then there is the factor of others who are outside of this congregation who more than likely had put in their 2 cents worth of comments on what you should have done and what you should not have done. In Ephesians 4 and 15, the Bible tells us that one of the ways we grow in the Lord is that we speak the truth to one another in love. I pray that the truth I speak today will be in love and received by you in love as it comes from my heart, as God has given it to me. And so I want you to know, if I say some things that offend, it's not my intent to offend. It's not my intent to tear down. My intent is to build up and to edify. Amen. And I want to talk about some things like ethnic identity, culture, skin color, hair texture, food preferences, things that keep one group of people apart from another group of people, because those kinds of things make one group different from the other group. And some of those things are easily used by the devil as a device to keep us divided. But what a glorious expression this is today for God's people to celebrate what a whole lot of people just tolerate. While it is common even in Christian circles to talk about multicultural ministry and institutional diversity, many who talk it don't walk it. It is important for God's church to reflect the kind of relationship that Jesus prayed for, so the world will know that Jesus' mission is alive and well. Just about everywhere you turn, the conversation is about us and them. It's about liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans, capitalists and socialists, rich and poor, black lives and blue lives, contemporary and traditional, old school and new school, evangelicals and mainline, and often about black church and white church. But thank God, amen, we can, if we want to, just simply be God's church. In an article written by David Prince, who is a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, he wrote it a couple years ago, and in that article, he states the following, and I quote, "Issues related to ethnicity are fundamental, not incidental, to the unfolding of the gospel story in a redemptive history." And he cites a sociology of religion named Rodney Starks, who says that in the city of Antioch during the Roman time, the city was divided into 18 different intensely antagonistic ethnic groups with almost no social interaction. But it was the followers of Jesus in the multi-ethnic church of Antioch who were first called Christians, and who took the gospel of Jesus around the world. The Greco-Roman world stood in awe of the people who formerly hated each other because of ethnic distinctions and now loved each other as family, worshiping and serving in the name of Jesus, end quote. That's what Peter is talking about in Acts 15, verse 8 and 9. When he rose up in the midst of the apostles and the elders of Jerusalem and declared that God knows the heart, and he showed his acceptance and approval of the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he had given the Holy Spirit to the Jews who believed. And Peter went on to say, he made no difference between us and them. And that's what I'm preaching about today, us and them. Amen. I don't want to be one of those preachers who, like I've heard preachers say, tell you that the Bible does not say what it says. And if you look at verse 9, in the King James translation, it says, and put no difference between us and them. In the New King James, it says, and made no distinction between us and them. In God's Word translation, it said, God doesn't discriminate between Jewish and non-Jewish people. In the New Century Bible, it says, to God, those people are not different from us. And I need to let you know that I had an argument with Peter about what he said. Now, I chose not to argue with God, but I did want to take a swing at Peter. Amen. Amen. Peter was a little less intimidating than God. And so before I tell you what Peter meant, I want to tell you what he did not mean. He said that God made no difference, or God made no distinction between us and them. His words to his audience at the time were that God made no difference between Jews and Gentiles. And so my argument with Peter was, partly due to my real life experience. I haven't been everywhere, but I've been a lot of places. And most places I've been, people that are of various ethnic groups are different. I need you to do a little exercise with me. I want you to swivel your head to the right and around behind you. Look around. Then swivel it back to the left and look around you. Now I need to ask you, does everybody in here look alike? I don't look like me either. Amen. When I looked around the room, I saw a whole lot of differences, ethnic differences. Our skin color ranged from maple to mahogany. Amen. I see some people with straight hair. I see some people with curly hair. I see some people with black hair, red hair, brown hair, and no hair. Amen. I see some people with thick lips and some people with thin lips. Amen. You get the point of what I'm trying to say. And unless Peter was blind, he saw some ethnic differences in the physical appearance between the Jews and the physical appearance in the Gentiles. So evidently, Peter is not talking about physical differences. Amen. Peter is not denying God's amazing creativity in making us with some diverse features and characteristics that are part of our ethnic identity. We should appreciate and celebrate the fact that God has the ability and the genius to come up with a wide array of colors and tones and variations and shapes and sizes, amen, and helps us to understand better what it means to be made in his image and his likeness. You can't just pin God down to one color or one culture. God is bigger than that. And I love the fact that he didn't make us all the same, that we don't look the same, we don't walk the same, we don't talk the same, we don't do things the same. No one ethnic group can claim that they alone are God's image bearers. So Peter is not talking about our physical distinctions. They were made by God, and God made us different. But the same God who made us different says to us that our differences, the ones we see and the ones we sometimes separate over, makes no difference to him as far as his acceptance and his approval of us and them. Anyone, everyone who believes in his son Jesus receives the same redemptive blessing of forgiveness and eternal salvation. God knows that on the inside we are all alike. Black people sin. Amen. Thank you, sister. Black people sin. And most black people believe that white people really sin. I mean, white people sin. People sin. Amen. And it is black people and white people that need Jesus. God knows we need him. Peter says God knows the heart. Amen. And he meets us at our point of need by giving us the Holy Spirit, which he uses to purify our hearts. Thank God there is no distinction. Thank God there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between rich and poor. There's no difference between us and them. The same Lord who is Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon his name. Ain't that good news? That's good news, not just for somebody, but for everybody. Peter was one of those first followers of Jesus. Amen. And he was one for whom Jesus prayed to be one with other disciples. Now the day came when the Lord wanted the oneness he prayed for to be manifested in Peter's life. But Peter wasn't there yet. So one day when Peter went up on the housetop to pray, the Bible says that his stomach started growling. And he wanted something to eat. And being in that state, he fell into a trance. And while he was in a trance, amen, he saw something that looked like a great sheet that had come down from heaven, filled with pork chops and ham sandwiches and barbecue ribs. And here the verse said, Peter grabbed one of those sandwiches, man. Peter said, no, Lord, I never eaten that kind of food before. That food is common and it is unclean. The voice said to Peter, don't call anything that God has made common. And the Bible says that happened to Peter three times. And then after it had happened to him three times, Peter was wondering what the vision meant. He didn't understand what the vision meant. And while he was contemplating that, men from Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, was already on their way to meet Peter, to invite Peter to come and share the message of the gospel with Gentiles. Now, God wasn't trying to get Peter ready to eat bacon. The vision wasn't about pork, it was about people. Amen. God was trying to get him ready to go to a culture where the people did eat those things. And we know from reading the Bible that Peter ended up eating those things. Now, you know Peter had to be a changed man to go from a pork-free Jew, amen, to a pork-eating Jew who mingled with Gentiles. And in the second chapter of Galatians, we are told that Peter did eat with Gentiles. And when you read the text, you get the sense that he did that on a regular basis until he got caught by some men from James. Amen. And Peter tried to wipe the bacon grease off his mouth. Amen. Amen. And hide the fact that he had come from where he was to a person who had opened his whole life up to a culture that he had not known before. Peter liked, he enjoyed Gentile cooking. Amen. And by then, Peter realized that the vision he saw was a lot more about people than it was about pork. People who don't eat the same physical food as we eat still need the same spiritual food that we do. We must not allow the superficial about us and what is superficial about others to cause us to have an air of superiority or inferiority. God is no respecter of persons. I remember a long time ago how my mother helped me to develop some self-esteem, esteem that I was going to need in order to live out God's plan and purpose for my life. I didn't know it at first, and I really don't know if my mama knew what she was doing for me. About 55 or 60 years ago, before tattered jeans were a fashion statement, I wore jeans that had tears and holes in them. Holes that came from shooting marbles on my knees and crawling around on the ground, climbing trees. Mama tried to keep the holes sewn and patched up, but somehow I found a way to rip them again and again. She would wash and iron all of our clothes. It didn't matter how old or new the clothes were. Mama kept our clothes clean, and she kept them ironed. And she did that to the extent that it made me feel that the clothes I had on were the best that a boy could wear. Now, they really were not, but I did know that my mother gave her best to help me look my best. And I was thinking about how much she worked and how hard she worked and how she tried to keep food on the table and roof over her head. And I realized that through her love and her devotion for taking care of me along with my siblings, that my life meant something to her, that I mattered, and that because of how she expressed her love for me and to me, I had worth and I had value. Then one day I heard that God, who made the sun and the stars and the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son, one of a kind son, to lose his life so I could have mine saved. I heard about how he accomplished that by allowing his son to die on a cruel cross for me. It came to me again in such a powerful way this past weekend when some of the members of our congregation came together at Green Street and engaged in a church-wide cleanup. A man was there cleaning our folding tables. He took a cloth and went over to a table and put some solution on the table and began to wipe the table with the cloth. And the more he wiped, the cleaner the table became. And then I realized that all the crud and the grime that was on the table was now on the cloth. God spoke to my heart and helped me to realize that that's what Jesus had done for me. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. In other words, Jesus took my shame and my blame. He took it off me and put it on him. Stretched out his arms on Calvary, and there he died, shedding his blood to wash away all my sins. Brothers and sisters, that wasn't all of it. It dawned on me as I looked at the first table the man had cleaned. We had 19 more tables just like that table. And I began to think about if that first table, that one table, got that cloth that dirty, what would it look like after he finished the other 19. And I thought about myself, amen, that Jesus took my sins upon him. And I thought about the thousands and tens of thousands and the millions and tens of millions for which Jesus died and took upon himself our sins. Brothers and sisters, his great love for you and his great love for me makes us all somebody. Amen. And Peter is right. It was God. It is God. Amen. Who makes no difference between us and them. To God, it doesn't matter what color or what culture you are from. God loves us. I thank God that he loved me enough to claim me as his own child. Amen. He wants us all to know, amen, that as far as he is concerned, there is absolutely none. There is absolutely no difference between us and them. Whoever we are, amen, we are accepted by God if we will accept God. I'm so glad, amen, I'm so glad that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever I love that word. Amen. Because I know that I'm included in that group called whosoever, that whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed, but have everlasting life. And it's good to be a part of a congregation, a gathering of people who form a fellowship. Amen. That know because of the purifying of your hearts. Amen. You can have the same heart that God has and make no difference between the people who are different than you are. You can eat together. You can fellowship together. You can worship together. You can live together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and come to that place where it is no longer us and them. It's just us. It's just us. It is just us. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Great things he will do. God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile on you.